Muted.
Hello and welcome to the Heathrow SP Limited results for the 9 months ending September 2013 investor presentation. Throughout this session, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. And just to remind you, this session is being recorded. Today I'm pleased to present José Leo, Chief Financial Officer. Please begin.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning for those joining us in North America. And welcome to this conference call to discuss Heathrow SP Limited's results for the 9 months ended 30th September 2013. I'm José Leo, Chief Financial Officer, and with me is Andrew Effiong, Director of Treasury, and Anne Herron, Head of Debt Investor Relations. You can view the presentation via the online link provided in this morning's results press release. Today's press release and presentation are also available at the Investor Center on Heathrow.com. Well, without any further ado, we start on slide 2 with the key highlights. And there are 4 key points to highlight. First of all, we are delivering record passenger satisfaction at the same time as traffic numbers are growing. We have seen a strong endorsement this year by passengers of our efforts to enhance their experience of traveling through Heathrow. Each quarter this year we have achieved strong satisfaction scores in the Airport Service Quality Survey. We continue to deliver strong financial results with revenue up by £178 million and EBITDA up by £187 million. This is critical to fund the record rate of investment that we are making. We are investing almost £4 million per day, and as November rapidly approaches, we are moving out of the construction phase for the new Terminal 2 and into the operational readiness phase, where extensive tests and trials will be undertaken over the following months ahead of the of opening the terminal to the public on June 2014. Finally, you will be aware that the CAA issued its final proposals for the next regulatory period, which starts in April 2014, and we are preparing our formal response to the CAA, which is due the 4th of November. In terms of passenger satisfaction, moving on to slide number 3, we have talked about it often. You know, we are transforming the airport. Passengers are saying that they notice the difference of traveling through Heathrow. In the independently compiled Airport Service Quality Survey conducted by Airports Council International, we have been achieving notable improvements. In the first 2 quarters of 2013, Heathrow achieved his highest ever overall passenger satisfaction. And in the 3rd quarter, we achieved a good score of 3.94. As a result, Heathrow year-to-date performance of 3.97 reflects an improvement over the same period last year, that was 3.93. And this achievement is more significant as it is achieved against the backdrop of more passengers using the airport and the evolving mix of passengers. But definitely we have to stay focused on continuously improving our passenger experience. We still remain the second best place hub airport in Europe, but we obviously are very keen on achieving the number one. Opening T2 is no doubt an important enabler to further improvement. Moving into the next light dealing with traffic, clearly there has been a strong traffic performance. We have on average obviously increased by 3.6%, although it's true that this is in part due to the the non-recurrence of the dampened traffic demand during the Olympic Games in Q3 last year. So the underlying growth is more estimated around 2.2%. European traffic is definitely the traffic which is growing more significantly, and in terms of the how material or substantial it is. And we think this traffic is in part boosted by the bounce back from the Olympics last year, but also is the result of the British Airways acquisition of BMI and the positive impact of that acquisition in our traffic figures being brought forward with regard to our previous expectations. Still, long-haul intercontinental traffic is strong in looking at other parts of the world, but particularly in Asia and Middle East. We have seen the looking at the emerging markets, or to be more precise, looking at the non-OECD countries, we have seen traffic growing by 4.5%, with China growing nearly 19%, India 9%, Malaysia up by a third. So in summary, good traffic growth. In terms of our largest long-haul market, which is North America, we have seen also healthy growth, but at a slower rate through the year than other markets. On slide 5 now, we can see how Heathrow's traffic trends compare with the rest of the European peers. And you can see that our performance is particularly good at this slide, 3.1%, although once again, adjusting that by the effect of the Olympics in terms of the 12 months ended 30 September 2013, the year-on-year growth will be more like 2%. But still, definitely we are part of the leading pack together with the Schiphol in terms of growth year-on-year. On slide 6, you can have a snapshot of our capital program. The Heathrow transformation continues. We continue investing in Terminal 2. It's the most relevant piece of our capital plan at the moment. In phase 1, we have built, as you know, the main terminal building, a satellite building, a car park, and an energy center, which will be serving the terminal and the wider airport. The construction phase is nearing completion, and we will be passing the baton to the operational readiness team in November to really kick off the operational trials and testing. This operational readiness phase will last 6 months. We will see hundreds of trials and tests to make sure that the circa 24,000 people who will be working in the Terminal 2 would become familiar with the terminal and will be properly trained. This is obviously not just Heathrow staff, but a combination of staff from airlines, handlers, border force, caterers, retailers, so on and so forth. The difference between opening Terminal 2 and the opening of Terminal 5 in 2008 is basically that the Terminal 5 was opened in one go. British Airways fleet moved lock, stock and barrel to the new terminal. In this case, we plan a phased opening of 26 airlines, with only one of them, United Airlines, starting to operate on the 4th of June next year. And the rest of the airlines will be moving over a period of 5 months. So it will be a much more, let's say, a gradual and phased transition. On the other hand, we continue working and developing our baggage infrastructure, and the Terminal 3 integrated baggage system remains on track to become operational in 2015. On slide 7, just to dwell for a while on the CAA final proposals for Q6, although some weeks ago we already arranged a call with the investors to really deal with this particular point, but I would just like to remind you of some of the key points. The CAA issued final proposal for Q6 on the 3rd of October. The CAA is assuming a lower cost of capital and more challenging OPEX savings that we put forward in our alternative business plan. You can see in the slide the main differences. And we plan to respond to that by the 4th of November in order for the CAA making the final decision on the 9th of January 2014. just not dwell any longer on that. You know that the key differences, obviously, they all of them end up manifesting themselves in a different X, in a different real, in a different proposal in terms of aeronautical charges increases in real terms. We are proposing the charges to grow by 4.6% in real terms over the next 5 years. The CAA final proposals contemplate a zero flat real rate increase. And of course, as we discussed some days ago, the main driver for that is the difference in terms of the cost of capital assessment. In slide number 8, coming back to the figures, clearly a strong financial performance in year to date, at the end of September 2013. The EBITDA growth, as you can see, is a combination of a strong growth in turnover, but also a reduction in operating expenses. From the point of view of the balance sheet, you can see both debt and RAB going down, the main driver for that being obviously the sale of Stansted in February 2013, with the debt and the asset base of that airport, being taken away accordingly. But I will discuss these points later on in more detail. In terms of revenue, clearly a good revenue momentum, with aeronautical income being the main driving force, growing strongly. This level of growth, of course, is clearly explained in part by the growth in traffic, but it's also clearly the impact of the landing charges. The aero charges are growing year on year, as you know, by RPI plus 7.5%. This year, that means 10.4% growth year on year. But there is also a relevant element to consider in the revenue growth year on year, and this is the impact of the yield year on year. On one side, we are recovering part of the yield dilution that we incur in previous years through the so-called K factor, which is added to the revenues. But also this year, comparing with previous year, there is a significant reduction in the level of dilution. This year we are having a slight yield concentration. Last year, at this time of the year, we had this material yield dilution. So the combination of all those factors are obviously impacting in order to deliver this 18.3% growth year on year in the total aeronautical revenue figure. In terms of net retail income, definitely the growth is also significant, 6%, with the net retail income per passenger growing at 2.6%, driven by a number of activities, mainly Bureau de Chance, car parking and car rental. On the other hand, we think there is a slight negative impact driven by, on one side, the weight of the European traffic, the European traffic being the main responsible for growth in the period. Obviously, with European passengers have a lower propensity to spend, as well as the fact, as we mentioned in previous quarters, there has been a slowdown in the growth in the luxury retail activities, although in the third quarter we see that coming back up or picking up a little bit. In terms of cost, I'm pleased to say that we have shown a reduction in cost this year, although part of that clearly is driven by the changes in the way we reflect our intra-group charges in the operating cost, and which is basically neutral in terms of EBITDA, but obviously has an impact in cost and revenue terms. But first of all, we have to take away some costs that are more of a one-off nature, both in 2012 and 2013. In 2012, we have costs incurred around the Olympics, totaling around £20 million, that obviously this year are not incurred. But on the other hand, in 2013, we have incurred employment-related one-off costs associated with redundancy payments and incentive schemes, amounting to over £10 million. Those are meant to be driving efficiencies and savings over the coming years. We are also incurring around £30 million of additional non-cash pension costs, which are further inflating the employment cost. But at the same time, we are implementing a number of actions around, for example, senior management pay freezes or headcount savings, which are partially offsetting some of those increases. But taking all of these movements into account, overall the underlying operating costs are more or less flat or slightly up by no more than 1%. The combination of all that can be seen on slide 11, where we have a very healthy increase in EBITDA. The EBITDA growth for the quarter has been 29%, quarter three on quarter three. That's leading, obviously, to a growth of 22.1% year-on-year compared to 18% at the half-year. And obviously, the long-term picture is commensurate with the kind of expectation that we set at the beginning of the queue, and the CAGR growth in EBITDA is 17.5% over the queue. Next slide, number 12, dealing with the reconciliation of interest payable with interest paid. The net interest payable in the 9 months of September obviously can only be compared by taking out a number of usual adjustments. First of all, fair value gains and losses in the derivative portfolio, capitalized interest, and amortization of financing fees. When we strip that out, the comparison is clearly much more meaningful, with the underlying net interest payable at £570 million being in line with the previous year, £573 million. Then we need to bridge to the interest paid, obviously adjusting for the movement in accruals and inflation accretion. The picture then is £458 million of cash payments in 2013 versus £332 in 2012. The bulk of that is driven by the timing of the coupon payments. And there were a number of coupon payments due at the end of September that are falling in Q3 this year, but were falling in Q4 in 2012. Because the 30th of September was a weekend. So we expect that to revert to the same pattern at the end of the year that we had before. Slide number 13 is showing the gearing evolution, which is basically reflecting the restricted payments made over the queue, over the year, and also the phasing of the interest payments that I have just mentioned before. As you know, the disposal of Stansted and the subsequent use of those disposal proceeds resulted in a modest reduction in gearing. The net increase in gearing since the 30th of December 2012 is primarily linked to the effect of some restricted payments of around £83 million that were used to rebalance debt across the broader Heathrow Airport Holdings group, and also obviously due to the net interest payments in the first 9 months of 2013, as I mentioned before. But I have to say that the gearing is well inside the expected target ratios that we have been discussing a number of times, and is showing a very healthy headroom. The next slide is showing in more detail the evolution of net debt over the year. Clearly, the chief movement in the year is the impact of the Stansted disposal, with more than £1.4 billion of net proceeds coming into the business and allowing us to repay a substantial amount of debt. Clearly, restricted payments is also a figure which is relevant, £673 million, which have increased by £160 million since June 2013. Clearly, the reason for that is, on one side, the regular payments relating to shareholders' dividends, and also the servicing of interest in other parts of our capital structure. as well as I mentioned before, more than £80 million that were used to rebalance some of the debt positions in other parts of the business. To be more precise, we refinanced a piece of debt we had at the ADIF Finance 1 level that we used to call the toggle, that was fully repaid, and it was replaced with a new £505 million loan facility in ADIF 2. Other than that, the other picture which is worth highlighting is the fact that we keep financing a significant part of our capital expenditure with cash flows generated internally after paying interest. So, by way of summary, strong passenger satisfaction and definitely strong passenger numbers. On the back of that, we have a very healthy, strong EBITDA growth, which I have to highlight once again is supporting a record rate of investment in the airport. The Terminal 2 operational readiness phase is fast approaching, will begin in 1 month from now, and the formal response to the CAA final proposals is also keeping us busy to be submitted on the 4th of November. Altogether, this picture and those, that information is leading us to believe that we will exceed our full-year EBITDA forecast that it was previously set at £1.3 billion, and we will exceed that by around 3 to 4%. So, in summary, around £40 to £50 million additional EBITDA for the year. That is the end of the presentation. So I will now open the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. You may press 02 at any time to withdraw your question. There will now be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Again, just to remind participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. You may press 02 to cancel your question at any time. And there will now be a further pause while questions are being registered. And our first question comes from the line of Sasha Camper of Principal Global Investors. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you, and thanks for the call. Just a quick question regarding the quinquennial review. The 5.6% weighted average cost of capital assumption that the CAA is proposing, mm-hmm. Can you talk about how that compares to your actual experience today in today's interest rate environment? Not necessarily what you expect relative to the 6.7% over the long run.
Well, I think it is difficult to run comparisons on the basis of a particular point in time. I think it is much more meaningful to look at the obviously long-term trends. I mean, some couple of weeks ago we ran a session, a conference call with investors, with some of you for sure attending that, and we tried to provide a bridge on how our cost of capital proposal that was 6.7% compares with the 5.6% WACC that the regulator is putting forward. Because obviously you can look at that in many different ways. But overall, the difference, we believe that around 60 basis points of that difference was associated with cost of equity. That for us is particularly important, to be honest, and I will come back to that in a minute. The rest, which is around, let's say, 50 basis points, is driven by cost of debt. In the cost of debt consideration, once again, we wouldn't like to compare cost of debt proposed by the regulator with any particular point in time, but more with general trends. And for example, we identify a number of inconsistencies, for example, in terms of credit spreads or in terms of the cost of running our financing platform, the way the new issue premium was considered. So in a way, a combination of different elements that led to a gap of around 50 to 55 basis points, as I said before. More importantly is cost of equity. We believe that the regulator is definitely not appreciating properly the risks associated with the business, the asymmetry of the business in terms of dealing with cycles, because as we are operating full capacity, we will have we will face more difficulties in terms of recovering from downturns, and ultimately it is equity investors who can make the judgment as to whether or not this return is commensurate with the level of investment and the level of commitment they are taking with the business. So that I don't know if that answers your question, but rather than focusing on a particular point in time in the market, I think it makes much more sense to look at the what elements of the long-term debt platform they are not properly assessing.
Sure, that's helpful. And your response to them is due November 4th. How long after that do you think it will take the regulator to come back with a final decision?
Well, this is well set already. The final decision will be made on the 9th of January, 2014.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I see it on your bullet point here. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just to remind all participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. And our next question comes from the line of Nicolas Schmoor of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a quick question on the cost line, because once again, you've pushed a very impressive performance in Q3. I mean, it seems some of the one-off costs are kind of waning now, and you're really getting full benefits of the OPEX control. Do you see that momentum further accelerating into Q4, into the first part of next year until you open T2, which may incur some extra costs? Can you shed a bit of light on how you see the phasing coming, and maybe as well on the one-off costs that we should include for T2 opening next year?
Okay, well, there is there is a long way to go still. I mean, obviously, we have already started to implement some of the actions that are required to deliver the efficiencies in Q6. A good example, as I said before, is, for example, salaries being, frozen for senior managers, or starting to introduce some incentive schemes in our pay negotiations, or, for example, starting the recruitment of people, new security officers for Terminal 2, with different terms and conditions, which has been already discussed with the unions. But still, there is a long way to go. I mean, there are a good number of actions to be implemented. Definitely, we expect those actions to start delivering savings progressively over the coming months and into Q6. So absolutely. I wouldn't expect a dramatic reduction in costs over the coming 6 months, but more seeing the let's say an acceleration in the pace of savings to get into the right entry level in Q6. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. In terms of getting a view on the potential one-off you think may be incurred for the opening of T2 in terms of, you know, extra staff, extra processes and so on. Should we consider anything material for the year, or is that all built into this year's guidance and the entry point for Q6 next year?
No, absolutely. That's all factor. Obviously, the business plan we have submitted to the CAA is already taking into account the fact that there is a significant ramp-up in resources to get Terminal 2 in operation. So we are already recruiting people. We are already running training sessions and testing the terminal, and the cost of operating a new terminal is obviously an extra cost. Operating a terminal like Terminal 2, the new Terminal 2 will be more costly than operating the old Terminal 2, that's for sure. But on the other hand, there will be benefits, not only in our side of the business, but sometimes more importantly in the airline side of the business. All those costs are already factored in our projections, in our business plan.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for that.
No problem.
And as there are no further questions at this point, I will return the call to José Leo for closing comments.
Well, in that case, thank you very much, and I hope we will come back again to discuss these things at the end of the year. Thank you very much for dialing in. Mike.
This now concludes our call. Thank you for attending. Participants, you may disconnect your lines.